Welcome to the Smith & Rowland Show. Let's join our host, Alan Smith and Jeff Rowland.
Good morning, Mr. Rowland.
Good morning, Mr. Smith.
How are we doing, buddy?
You okay today?
I art really good.
Good.
So I think we're going to have a good day. It looks like we got some cold air coming our way, though.
Boy, that's the truth. Texas got hammered with the ice.
Yeah, we're getting some cold air coming in, but with that cold air, we got a balloon flying up there. I don't know what the cold air and the
balloon. Yeah, the balloon has to, they're flying higher in the colder air. Yeah, that's right. Chinese balloon up over Montana now.
Oh, really?
The Department of Defense, the Pentagon, has said they don't know about shooting it down because they're afraid of what might be in it and might kill a bunch of people. Of course, you know, it is over Montana. It's not over Los Angeles or New York, but nonetheless, they've made kind of a decision on that. It's just unbelievable how that we keep yielding to Chinese intervention in about everything that we're doing. It's not that they're taking it. We're just giving it away.
It says here that officials say they are confident the balloon belongs to the People's Republic of China. And although its current flight path carries it over a number of sensitive sites, officials say it does not present a significant intelligence gathering risk. It's trespassing.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to know who, what, where. You don't have to make all those decisions, which you don't know. They're trespassing.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, supposed to be. Do you not get a ticket or something? How about a phone call?
These sensitive sites are Air Force bases. Somebody please get a brain and think a little more clearly than what you're doing. But that's definitely something that we need to be paying attention to going forward with China. Of course, you know, I don't think we have any fear at all of what may be happening with China until President Biden is out of office.
Can somebody not least wake up from your deep sleep? You know what I'm saying?
That would just be nice. Oh my goodness.
Somebody wake up here. We keep going from one major thing to another, and then it's all swept under the carpet like it has no meaning. Concerns me anyway.
Yeah, well, it's very concerning, especially given the fact that we now have a Russian warship armed with unstoppable hypersonic missiles sailing towards the U.S. coast in a show of strength. So you've got Russia coming. This vessel that's coming toward us has 6,670 mile per hour Zircon weapons on it. Zircon missiles. And it's coming toward our coast. You got China sailing a hot air balloon or a balloon over Montana right now. It's almost like America's being squeezed by Russia and China together. Of course, we've seen this relationship with Russia and China converge since the war in Ukraine started.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It seems to me like we ought to be trying to find more of a peaceful solution with Ukraine than what we're dealing with, because we're basically in a nuclear chicken game with China and Russia now. It's really ramping up. And Alan, also, we've got some things going on with Israel and Iran that is happening. And if a war breaks out there, that's going to change the whole dynamic.
We're going to have something else to talk about.
We're going to have something else to talk about when that happens. Yeah.
Well, listen, until that happens, can I ask you something? I'm just going to jump subjects on you here, but it's
something.
We got an article here that says NHL team skips Pride Night warm-up jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we support it. What is warm-up jerseys with Pride Night on them? They've already went rainbow on everything, and now they're wanting them to wear jerseys, the hockey team? Is that what this is?
Well, here's the thing. Over the last six seasons in hockey, New York Rangers have hosted what they call Pride Night Friday at Madison Square Garden. The whole arena is filled with pride flags and in support of LGBT and gay rights. The national anthem is always sung by someone who is homosexual. And so what they were going to do is they wanted the hockey teams to come out for their warmups before the game in rainbow colored jerseys to, you know, to support the LGBTQ plus community. Well, the New York Rangers team decided not to do that. They was not going to wear those warm-up jerseys. Well, that's caused a big rift in among the gay community. They was, you know, demanding that the players come out in support of their cause. And you had a Russian player from Philadelphia that said he was not going to do it. Then his teammates followed suit as well, I think. And he made the statement of, you know, he respects everybody's choice, but his choice was to stay true to what he believed and his religious convictions. Now, it's odd to me that you have a Russian who is standing up for freedom of speech a little bit louder than Americans do. But one writer put it this way: it's no longer enough for the gay community for us to worship at their altar. They want us to bow at their altar.
Right.
And
right,
I think there's truth behind that. I think there's a lot of truth behind that. They're not really just wanting, they're not after their choice to be gay. They've already got that. What they are after is everybody else who isn't gay to support their choice, to not say a word about their choice while they continue to criticize and demean everybody that's not gay, you know? Uh-huh. And so they're wanting control more than they're wanting their right of choice or their right of freedom. I think it's a sad reality when freedom of speech only applies to those that are on the left. We had a little event that took place this week at the Smithsonian Institute where a high school group was touring Washington, our capital. They went into the Smithsonian Institute and they had these little beanie caps that they were wearing. And on the front of it, it said pro-life. Well, they were escorted out of the Smithsonian Institute because they had these pro-life beanie caps on. So, you know, I think that we've learned from the coach that the Supreme Court ruled on that this is a freedom of speech related issue as much as it's a religious freedom issue. And some can say if you're, you know, Christians are all pro-life. Well, I'm finding that not to be true to start with, but I say that with shame. But those that are pro-life no longer apparently have the right to say they're pro-life, and uh-huh. That violates freedom of speech. That's a freedom uh-huh. of speech issue, and we need to look at it that way. Of course, the underlying perception that we need to have is from a spiritual perspective and not just a political perspective. These are spiritual problems, I believe. When you threaten the lives of others, that's a spiritual problem. When you're in violation of the Word of God, that's a spiritual problem. So understanding what does the Word of God say is at the bottom line and the root of all of our understanding. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So the issues around the Bible, we can say that it's because, you know, I believe this way or I believe that way. No, the issue is about, do you believe the Bible? And in all these issues, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be abortion or whatever it means, I think that's the underlying thought process we need to look at, is these are spiritual issues, not just political issues.
Well, when we cross over into and agree with your spiritual issue conclusion, it is to say then, I think to reduce the sin down to the individual and not point out also that there is a spiritual entity out here that is trying to influence people to sin.
Yeah, right.
And,
exactly.
And so, in other words, people are wanting their individual freedoms, correct?
It, right. That's what they
say.
See,
that's what they say. Want their individual freedoms to be who I want to be, who I want to be. But with not understanding that there's a spiritual world, or at least not accepting the truth and the fact that there's a spiritual world out here, and there's demons that are wanting to experience life, and the only way they can do that is through a human.
That's right.
So therefore, a human agrees with a spirit, like when homosexuality, or I mean anything that's obsessive, like drugs or alcohol, anything that we would consider as addictive has a spirit behind it. And you can say, well, it's just me wanting to be my true self. No, you're lied to. It's a demonic spirit enticing you. And that demonic spirit is trying to influence who you are. And it is influencing who you are, but people are thinking that it is their choice, I guess you could say. This is my choice to be this way. And there's the god Apollo, which is called the sun and music god in Greek mythology, but he's considered to be the patron of same-sex love. And so he had many lovers, male, female, homosexual, whatever. So there is a type of a type, I guess you could say, or a god that's worshipped. And to embrace a homosexual lifestyle or any sin means that you're worshiping another god.
Yeah.
And for us to separate it, I think we got to go further, Jeff, and I'm sure you do too, than just the individuals themselves. People need to understand, hey, there's something pushing. You're agreeing not with Jehovah God, but you're agreeing with false gods. And when we say false gods, we're not saying that they're not real.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. Because I totally agree with that.
Because they are real. And yes, to reduce this down to just, and that's when I agree with you so much that it's more than a spiritual problem.
Yes,
it's not just a problem. It's a spiritual problem. So
we view this as cultural, and it is. It manifests culturally, but it is a spiritual problem. And if we get that perspective, I think it'll start shaping our conclusions and our solutions a whole lot better. It's no longer good enough for the homosexual community for everybody to accept them. They want power and control to teach their lifestyle as something that should be accepted, and they want to teach it even to our children. Mm-hmm. So therein lies, you know, the slippery slope that you're always traveling in these cultural issues. You know, well, it used to be this way. They used to say abortion used to be seldom, just very seldomly used. Well, now that slippery slope started us on a trend to where it's okay to kill children all the way through the pregnancy in some views, and others even view it that even after they're born. According to the former governor of Virginia, he stated that even after they're born, you have a conversation with the mother, and if they want to abort the child, you can still abort the child even after it's born. So yeah, that's the slippery slope that Satan always takes us on. That's what the dark side intends for us is, you know, even in this issue of homosexuality, we know what the Word of God says about it. We don't have to wonder, what does God think about homosexuality? That's being debated by a lot of people, but it's useless to debate it because the Word of God is very plain about that issue. God says he won't turn them over.
Let's get into that debate a little bit. All right, we got Andy Stanley and, you know, Charles Stanley's son. Mm-hmm. And Andy Stanley has come out in the last few weeks. There was a video that surfaced teaching about homosexuality in the church. And of course, it's not the first time that he's spoken about homosexuality, even though he tends to touch it. But it's like nobody can't quite put your finger on it, what he's trying to say.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah.
And so it's hard to say. So we're talking about homosexuality as a topic or as a sin. We can do many other sins too if we want to pick on those particular sins. But Stanley, it goes on to say, Stanley exhorts church leaders about how they are to pass on the faith to the next generation. Mm-hmm. He has six exhortations, but the video circulated on the web is a small part of his third point, which is about 11 minutes long and focuses exclusively on the issue of homosexuality. In that third point, Stanley drives home the message that the faith of the next generation is worth leading our churches to acknowledge there are gay people, not just straight people, with a sin problem. By this, Stanley means that both gay people and straight people need the ministry of the church, which none of us would argue that. Stanley contends that churches have to have so mistreated and excluded gay people that churches have damaged their credibility to the next generation. The next generation of Christians accepts and loves gay people and cannot comprehend how Christian churches could possibly refuse to do the same. So here we see where Stanley, I mean, I kind of see his argument there, Jeff, a little bit, but at the same time, nobody's really, you can't, you're still unsure of where do you put your finger. What is Stanley saying? What do you think he's saying?
Well, here's something that I do take issue with. He says, gay people, not just straight people, have a sin problem. Straight people, not just gay people, have a sin problem. I agree with that. There is no doubt about that. He said, in that paragraph you read there, it says that Stanley means that both gay people and straight people need the ministry of the church. I agree with that. Stanley contends that churches have so mistreated and excluded gay people that churches have damaged their credibility to the next generation. I do not agree with that.
Because this
assumption is stating that if you take a biblical view or a biblical stand on the issue, that you're mistreating them. And that's not what is going on. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some people that, have a horse to ride and they just pound it and pound it in an obtruse and harsh way. That's very possible. But what I am saying is you're not mistreating a gay person by telling them that a homosexual lifestyle is not in agreement with the Word of God. That is not mistreatment.
No.
That's part of the argument here.
It is. And you see, I have a little problem with this. I don't have a little problem. I have a big problem with this statement here that he made, even though I am in agreement, just like you said. But he says here, he makes his statement. Now, this one bothers me a good bit. After all, we should be in awe of the self-sacrifice of gay people whose prayers God did not answer and yet who still love God.
Yeah, I mean,
in spite of the clobber verses from the Bible that condemn homosexuality. Now
why would you call those verses clobber verses?
Well, back on up a little further than that. Why is he citing God and not delivering and holding up the gay person of having great, whatever you want to call it, great faith, because they're still loving God, even though God didn't answer their prayer?
Yeah. I mean,
that's a hidden thing in that statement there, Jeff, but that's kind of huge. And why in the world you would make a statement that God, maybe God is delivering their answer and it's no.
There's so many assumptions in that statement. It's so broad. That statement's so broad and it leads you to so many dynamics.
But it's making God out as being the bad guy in that statement.
That's exactly right. It sure is. Well, it's
making God the bad guy and gay people those that have sacrificed, but yet they serve this God who will not answer their prayer.
Yeah,
I just really.
So many assumptions. He's making so many assumptions in that statement that the statement itself is floating on nothing but water. He has no basis for it.
He goes on to say Christians have a lot to learn from gay men and women who love Jesus that much and who want to worship with us. And they're saying they're wanting to love Jesus so much that they're worshiping a God that won't answer their prayers, but they love Jesus so much they're willing to worship with us. Now, Jeff, go ahead. You can tell I'm
let me just put a point here. Here's what the Word of God says. Jesus said this: if you love me, which he's saying in this article, gay people love God in spite of what God's done. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if there is a love for God in your heart that we're taught is supposed to precede anything else, if there's a love for God in your heart, it's going to produce obedience to his word. So you cannot tell me that you're going to God and saying, God, I want to love you. I so want to love you, but I also want to stay a homosexual. Those two things cannot coexist. according to the scripture. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. It will produce a life of obedience, not perfection, but obedience. And when you violate the obedience, there is grace sufficient for you when you repent. Okay.
Yeah, well,
repentance
yeah.
is turning from it. So to say, to make this assumption that these people really love God in spite of the fact God hadn't answered their prayers is a wrong statement. That's wrong.
Well, it's not valid. Well, he's trying to pull on the emotional side of humans instead of the absolute side of the Word of God. Jeff, my, which I've had an old preacher tell me before, but when God, I was taught and told, you test this, I was mm-hmm. taught and told that God answers prayer.
Yeah.
And then I was also taught and told, if you didn't hear God, if God's not giving you an answer, it's because he's already given it in his Word.
Yeah, I think there's truth there.
You see what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
So a lot of times we're looking for God's answer, and he says, yes, I've given you a book here, and here's that question you just asked. In other words, God's got a Google, and it's called the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah. Google God.
That's right.
And it's a Bible. And
that's
so
right.
I think what we're looking is, we're saying, God, your word's not giving the answer I'm wanting, so therefore I'm
right.
going to say you're not answering me.
That's right.
I'm
That's
going to
right.
ignore
That's
your,
right.
Google God, and
yeah.
I'm going to ignore those. You've already answered that prayer. I can imagine, Jeff, there's not a prayer that's not been answerable somewhat in the Bible anyway.
I totally agree. I agree with that.
I believe though the Holy Spirit can give us an impression of the Word of God or whatever.
Sure.
Usually when I'm looking for an answer or whatever from God, all of a sudden he'll bring a scripture up
or
what. And the truth is you can take Google this day and time with the Word of God and you say, I've got this question, or I've got, what does God's Word say about this?
That's right.
And
exactly.
we can get an answer from God really quick. So, and I understand, you and I believe that we can hear God and God speaks to us on a personal level outside of the Bible. We believe that but if God does speak to us outside of the Bible, it's always backed up by the Bible.
Absolutely. And that goes to the bottom line. Here's the solution to this cultural issue. It is, what does God's word really say about it? Not mm-hmm. what do we want God's word to say about it, not going to pray in prayer to God and asking God to change his word to fit our lifestyle, but what does the Bible actually say about it? And it goes back to something me and you've talked about several times, Alan. There is such, God's word says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. There is such a watered down version of the presentation of what the Bible says in the pulpits today that no one really wants to take a stand anymore. And as a result of it, it has annihilated our culture. It's destroying the very culture of our nation. And not just our nation, but around the world. Unfortunately, I have to say this, at this point, we're finding more evidence that there is a trend in Europe toward more conservative values than there is in America.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's so sad, because we used to lead the way in that. We led the way because there was strong conviction in the truth of God's word. That is no longer the case. And I lay that at the doorstep of the house of God. And the Bible says judgment must first begin at the house of God. So we need a stronger stand and a stronger voice. When you have mega church leaders that's coming out trying to say, well, the church needs to treat gay people better. Okay, we need to treat everybody better. To that stand. But to make the assumption that we're mistreating them because we're telling them about their sin is wrong.
He goes on to say this. If churches want to have a future, then they must be more like Jesus, who, when ministering to sinners, never started with theology, but started with the people in front of him. Furthermore, Stanley argues that if your theology gets in the way of ministry, like if there's somebody you can't minister to because of your theology, you have the wrong theology. Now, I've got one thing to say about that. I hear what he's saying. But here's what Jesus said. It is written, Man is not to live by bread alone. Man is to live by every word that God speaks.
That's right. So, that's exactly right.
So
that's
if he's saying, if that's theology, if you're equating theology to the word of God, then I would be guilty, because Jesus's answer to the devil, the author of all sin, his answer was, it is written, man is not to live by bread alone, man is to live by every word that God speaks. Stanley is using, my problem here is he's using a psychological argument. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual problem. He's trying to handle it through a psychological game and choosing on the emotions of humans. If we're going to start going to the emotions of humans, and for some reason my emotions are to outweigh it is written, we got to go back to more kindergarten stuff.
Absolutely.
You see, we got to rewind, but there again, the problem I have with Andy Stanley here is he's using the emotional art. Anytime you reduce something to an emotional argument, you're always going to lean to what makes you happy.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just where you're going to go with the conversation.
That's right. Yeah.
What makes you, well, what is offensive and what's not offensive?
Yeah.
So when this doesn't feel good to you, and I don't want to offend you, in other words, what he's saying, if your theology or if your Bible gets in the way of ministering to somebody, you got the wrong Bible.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
What
you got
the
wrong theology. Yeah. You got the wrong word of God. And that statement is, I understand psychologically how that'll tickle an ear. The problem is the word of God does not tickle my ear. And Jesus told the devil himself, word by word, a man's not to live by bread alone. He's to live by every word that God speaks. So
that's right.
This is part of this woke problem, Jeff, I think, that we see in the world today, is you try to reduce everything to what's offensive, what's not offensive. And so therefore, somehow through some magical potion, something that's offensive is bad and something that's not offensive is good.
But right.
Pray tell, here's the problem. Everything's going to offend somebody.
That's right. Yep. That's exactly right.
So to put offense up as the judge, I've been offended as the judge, I think, is the spiritual and the psychological game of hell itself.
Absolutely. Well, it's a Smith and Rowland show. We believe in the Word of God.
Yeah, we just do.
We just believe in the Word of God.
Well, Mr. Rowland.
All right, Mr. Smith.
I guess we could conclude it right there. And
yes, sir.
For Andy Stanley and Charles Stanley, I think, is a great man of God. And Andy's his son. He kind of spun off. But nonetheless, that's our story on Smith and Rowland.
That's our story. And we're sticking to it.
That's exactly right. All right, Rowland.
Yes, all right, buddy. All right. See you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today's Smith and Rowland Show. You can check out our website at kingdompropheticsociety.org and our daily unplugged podcast at smithandrowlandshow.podbean.com. You can also join us on Amazon, Apple, or Spotify.